Good morning, good afternoon, if you're not listening to this right when it comes out. How dare you? Welcome back to The Island Vortex. My name's Molly, I'm your host, and I would like to take a moment to acknowledge and thank the Saanich people, also known as the Pocketchin, Sartlip, Sachem, and Sayout First Nations communities for allowing us to live, work, and play on their lands. I would also like to give thanks to the ancestors, the supernatural ones, hereditary leaders and matriarchs, and the creatures big and small for looking after the rich resources and cultural teachings of this beautiful land. And this is where I grew up, the Saanich Peninsula, specifically Sydney, BC, where I'm recording from today. And I'd like to remind you that we are guests on this land and we need to walk lightly and tread carefully and treat the land as though we are visitors with respect and dignity. So thank you so much. I am so excited to jump into the episode that I have for you today because this one is all about art. And really, Lucas is so wonderful. He really has an attitude of living art and it's absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed this conversation. Before I introduce you to Lucas, I would like to remind you that we've had some changes in the podcast. If you've heard last Wednesday's episode or Daniel Mate's episode before that, the focus has shifted somewhat, and I'm really excited for the expansion of this podcast, not only in bringing people in and getting to know them, providing a platform to really highlight the people of Vancouver Island, but also in the community projects that I am envisioning moving forward. And I cannot do this without your help. So if you're new to the podcast, please enjoy it, explore it, get to know it, and enjoy the luxury of a free podcast. If you are a returning listener, if you really love this project and what I'm doing and the people who are on, I would like to ask you to consider donating and head to my website, mollyjwilder.com/the-island-vortex, and read a little bit more about what I'm doing and why I need your help. It would be incredibly helpful and it would also allow me to keep the commercial advertisements and consumer products off of the Island Vortex. So check that out. If you don't feel like you're ready to contribute financially, head to iTunes, hit subscribe, of course, and contribute with your 5-star review, and that would be wonderful. So thank you so much for being here, everybody. Without further ado, here is Lucas James Copplestone, also known as LJC Art. Welcome to the Island Vortex, where we highlight the movers and shakers of Vancouver Island and the teachings that have led myself and others to deeper peace, understanding, and compassion. From the forested shorelines of our west coast to our Gulf Islands, from Port Hardy to Sydney and the coastal mountains in between, we say thank you for listening, for being present, and for experiencing the diverse knowledge and beauty the incredible people of Vancouver Island have to offer. My name's Molly, and you're listening to the Island Vortex podcast. Lucas, thank you so much. This is awesome. Welcome to your home, which is now the home of the Island Vortex for the next hour and a half or so. Thank you so much for having me here. This is fantastic.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.
So I want to highlight the synchronicities of this universe and how we came together today, because this is so awesome. For our listeners, I was hanging out at Island View Beach the other day, and I was super early to pick up one of my girlfriends, and Lucas and I had been trying to connect and make this podcast happen a few months ago now. That was like probably 4 months ago, something like that. And I just had this moment where I was like, I need to connect with Lucas and see what's going on. So I was driving down the Island View Beach Hill on the Saanich Peninsula, and I gave him a call and he answered almost right away. He's like, hey, what's up? And I was like, hey, it's Molly. And you were, where were you? You were like,
I was coming down the hill on the highway from Island View Beach.
And like you said, perpendicular to
me. Yeah. And you said you were coming down, and then you're like, I'm going to merge onto the highway. And I pulled up basically just a couple cars behind you. And then
unreal.
We went and met for coffee.
I just think it's so amazing how, like, when the timing is perfect, the timing can't be more perfect.
100% flow state.
Oh, yes. I love it. Which it seems like you have this incredibly artistic, beautiful home that we're sitting in. I'm looking around. You've got like masks and paintings. You've got this amazing salt lamp over there, all these plants. Is that what you have designed your home to encourage in you? Is this flow state and artisticness?
Yeah, 100%. Being like a serial entrepreneur and taking on many projects and things like that, I think it's really important to have a place that nurtures. Like we don't build nests for humans. And so it's so important to build yourself a beautiful nest where you can nurture yourself, your mind, body, spirit, soul, and play music. We don't have a TV, and this is a space to just relax and be. And then, you know, if we do that and we feed ourselves right, I think the creativeness comes out better at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And I feel it. Like I walk in here and I'm setting up my like extravagant podcast equipment, which for like 2019 is a little bit over the top with my little...
It's like from 2002.
Yeah. Whatever. It works. And I feel at home. Like I feel very comfortable, and it has that like held feeling in your house of just welcoming. It's wonderful.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming here and setting up and doing this. This is kind of fun. Haven't done anything like this in a little while. So.
Yes, I love it. So tell us about what you do, because there's like you said you're a serial entrepreneur. I've known you for a long time, and in the time I've known you, man, you have taken on so many incredible projects. It's amazing to watch and to be, you know, a sideliner on.
Yeah, no, cool. Thank you. It's really neat to grow up here on Vancouver Island in Sydney, and be surrounded by many other serial entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in general. The town's made up of people that kind of work for themselves in a sense. And so you always have a friend to ask a question or encourage you along the way on your journey. And we've done everything from things like the Get Fresh Guide, which is something we created on our family farm on Thetis Island. And that connects local eaters, growers, suppliers of fresh local foods. And that's been running for about 11, 12 years now. And so we connect restaurants with farmers and just people with the good stuff, instead of like the map of where's McDonald's and where's this and, you know, all that.
Right. The Google Maps.
Yeah, the top 40 stuff. It's like, where's Charlotte and the Quail? And, you know, where are these types of places that are hidden gems that not everybody knows? Even the locals don't know where they are. So we thought we'd create a map that does that. And then essentially I've, for the last 10 years, I've been an artist. I've been LJC Art, and we specialize in large pop art portraits and abstract art. And now, and screen printing, it moved into screen printing. And then we started printing people's shirts and big canvases and signs, and the creativity continues on from there. And that's led to many, many things, many opportunities.
Absolutely. Fantastic. You're also a lyricist. Like, this is one of the things that I connect to you really well about, is like your writing, the way you speak, the way you feed words together, that has always really appealed to me. And it's been one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah, like this is art that I can understand in a big way.
No, thank you. It's art. Art's a way of life. Like you say, it's this place. It's the way we move. It's the way I get up and ride my bike or take my dog for a walk. So the lyrics, me doing my, if you will, spoken word or hip hop, is a big part of me that I've wanted to unleash for years. We started this probably 14, 15 years ago with my good buddy Cliff. Spliff Dog was his hip hop name, still is. And Spliff Dog and I would do tracks downstairs here in the house, and we have a drum kit upstairs. We grew up in a musical kind of home, and singing and doing covers of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Rolling Stones and Tragically Hip, and that kind of led to me doing my own hip hop. And that then died for a while because Spliff Dog moved away, and life kind of happens and we get serious. And just in the last 2 years, I've been able to unleash them again. I've been signed to a label down in Encinitas, California called Music House.
Congratulations. It's exciting.
It's super fun. Yeah, it's run by my friends, so they've given me the opportunity. And I've already been down there 3 times this year, and we're heading back down again next week. And we're going to do some recording. And Music House is about artists that have, just like my journey, for example, maybe put it on the sideline, and now Music House is going to let you bring it out again. And it's whether artists take that then forward to then move on to bigger stuff and really crush it in the, you know, radio and television scene with those types of things, or people that just want to play at a few music festivals, or, you know, want to play piano or guitar at the on cruise ships or hotels or whatever, Music House gives you that platform to take it to the next level.
That's awesome. Now, you just said something about getting serious. What do you mean when you say that? And there was a little bit of like a tone and an edge to it. What is this?
Well, I think it's like, what is that? Give up structure and stability for adventure and discovery. And I think we all are all about being structured, and we got to go to school and we got to get work. And like, I've been to school, we've done post-secondary, we've done all these things, we've written the tests, and yeah, it's great, but is it really fulfilling? You know, what fulfills you? What's the creative urge inside you? You know, do you like baking muffins, or do you want to, you know, build an airplane? Do you want to ride a bike? Do you want to walk a dog? Do you want to, you know, give service to others in other communities elsewhere? What is it? And so I think that we all get too serious in life, and we need to stretch after our best inner creative self. Like, I think the other past generations have taught us that, you know, why are we working so hard to pay for a place that we live in that we don't even get to spend time in because we're so busy away working?
I feel that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
that one hits me hard. Like, just keep life really simple, and man, you can stretch into all those creative avenues you've ever wanted to touch.
Yeah.
I think so.
So what are you wanting to reach out? What's the creative avenue that you're wanting to reach out and touch right now?
Everything. We've really gotten focused with our screen printing shop, so that's super awesome. Very excited about that. We work with really cool companies like Ecologist, which is the former Sitka. So we print a lot of apparel with them, and we consult with them, and we do screen printing workshops at their locations in Whistler and in Victoria. That's been a lot of fun. That's opened up a lot of doors, a lot of avenues of other neat clothing brands and or neat companies that want to work with us, because we're not a promotional print company. We're a print company that's art forward. And we believe in a sustainable approach. Everything's soy, citrus, water-based.
Yeah.
Our shop doesn't smell. It's neat and tidy. It's clean. And we love working with those kind of companies. And it's a lot of fun because, I don't know, it's the production, the art of production, if you will. And that's kind of what got me into screen printing, was like Andy Warhol and all of his screen prints. And he did these like Brillo pad boxes, which are like SOS pad boxes.
Yeah.
And a reporter asked him one day, "Why did you do that, Andy?" And he said, "Because it was easy." And it's just like, yeah, you know, that's the art of production is what it was about. It wasn't about the Brillo pad box, right?
Right.
And so that's what screen printing is kind of like with the shirts. It's like you print 100 of the same shirt. Some may think that's mundane, but it's actually really neat when you can make 100 of the exact same things.
And it's not mass production.
It's like, all hand printed. Like, it's all, everything's hand pushed. There's no machines doing this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, he's one of your big mentors and 100%. Idol. What do you say, idol?
Yeah, he could be an idol. I look up to, it all started for me when I was, my father, he's from Southeast London, England. And from a very young age, I've gone to London. Like, we've been to London lots. And I was always more excited to get on the airplane because airplanes are what I was about. And once we got to London, we ended up going to all the art galleries. And we went to the Tate Modern at the time. And as I came up the escalator was a giant piece called Wham, and it's a P-51 Mustang. So it's an airplane, but it's a pop art airplane painted by Roy Lichtenstein. And I said, I can do that. And so that's how I came home and started painting. And I painted for about 2 months after I got home, held my first art show in some hangars across the by the airport here. And we sold 15 pieces. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, yes, we can do this. And so Roy Lichtenstein, Andy Warhol, so many of that kind of pop art era is what I'm really into. Dad always had Picasso books around. I admire his take on art. He used to paint perfect pictures, like portraits, and he became famous when he mucked it all up. You know, put the nose on the butt and the eye on the shoulder and things like that. So,
that's awesome.
So yeah, if that makes sense of kind of who my art idols are. And now it leads into people like, Obey and Banksy, and these types of street artists, people that are, I really believe art's here to, what do we say? We comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And that's kind of what I do.
I love that.
You know, whether,
that's awesome.
I like getting people talking, whether it's good or bad, whatever, you're occupying their brain with them talking about whatever it is you created or did or disrupted or, Yeah, I don't know. There's kind of an art there, too.
I can't remember. You put something on the wall at the academy. I came over for, we were doing like a, it was just like a music night. Like you were rapping, someone was on the saxophone, and there was a piece with, God, I think it was Jimi Hendrix, and then you were wrote next to it. I can't remember what that was, but it got me talking because I took a photo of it and I sent it to a bunch of girlfriends, and I just like loved that, and I can't remember it now, but
I'm sure we could find it. I don't know that one off the top of my head, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but yes, it got me talking, like you said, like it was just one of those things that evoked some emotional reaction in me. It was awesome.
And that's what art is. That's what music is. Like, name one place in the world that you've traveled to that you haven't heard Bob Marley.
Oh,
right?
I couldn't.
Art travel, like, it's amazing. Soft power. It's the softest power in the world, because a musician's going to connect with way more people than a politician, as is an artist. So it's that's why they take creativity out of schools, and I really believe this, and I believe this when I went to school. And there's a TED talk called "Schools Kill Creativity" by Sir Ken Robertson, and a friend gave this to me years ago and said, "You got to watch this." And I watched it, and I was like, "That was me, and that's everybody else." And we're wondering why kids are, you know, ADD or anything. I would have had ADD if it was invented in my time, but it wasn't invented yet. So I just wasn't paying attention in school. You know, give 30 kids the same book and expect them all to sit down and behave and think that that's normal. It's, you know, I think that's obnoxious. And so in doing so, you mentioned the academy, and that was a big part for us, was how can we get the creativity out there to the masses. And that's how Carl and Sean and myself came together and acquired the old McTavish Elementary School, with the goal of turning that into a hub for creativeness, for art, yoga, dance, early childhood education, farming, agriculture, now run by our good friend Andrew and Access Acres. And there's that whole hub, and that's all art. And art is a way, you know, it's not a thing. And so that's what the academy is all about. And going that way. And so it's like, I always feel that people need to dive into their, whatever it is, their creative thing is. Like, so many people are artists that don't even realize they're artists because the system shut them down at the beginning.
Right. You mentioned, like, art is supposed, and we talked about this, that art evokes something in you and that you feel something, you talk about it, you get uncomfortable. What about in the creation process? How do you feel like when you're in that full creativity, what you called the flow state? What is the physical sensations is going on for you that allows that space to happen?
Like, do I go into a state of Zen when I'm doing this? Is that what you mean? Or like,
well, I know it's interesting to think about, like, what you feel when it's happening. Because I know when I'm not being creative, I feel blocked. There's something there. Like, there's a tightness, or there's a some kind of emotion that's like stuck inside of my body. And then when I feel like I can flow, it's harder for me to articulate how that actually feels.
Yeah, like when I'm painting a painting, I think I go through a giant emotional process. You know, like what does it take to paint a painting? And I believe it's a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to paint a painting. I didn't know. I didn't do art in school. I didn't do any of that in school. I didn't touch art until my mid-20s. And so that's what was so neat about it. I just kind of dove in. And when I'm doing a painting, I feel fortunate to have a creative release during my times of emotional fitness, if that makes sense.
Can you unpack that a little bit?
Well, we can be constructive or deconstructive. And so I choose to take that energy and make it constructive and put that into a painting and paint something. And a lot of these times we fight with these paintings, other times they just flow and it works with you and you get it going and the music's right and you had a good dinner that day, or you went for a nice walk or a bike ride, so you got oxygen in your brain, it feels good, versus a day where you're like, oh, I got to get this done for the client, and you didn't go out in the morning and you didn't feed yourself well and blah 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 blah. And so I feel more of that doing paintings than I do printing apparel, and or if I'm up on stage doing something with music, that's a whole nother bunch of knots in your chest and your stomach. And then once you do it, you feel great.
Right.
That typical. I think even like the big people, like the top stars, get that daily. Like I don't think if you don't get that, it's not right. You know, we need to be tickled.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It makes sense to me. I get it.
I go off on rants.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. When we met on, I think it was like Sunday or something. I can't remember, Monday. When we met, we both kind of resonated in that like 2019 has been a shit-kicking year for us.
Yeah, it's been a big year.
It's been a huge year. And one of the things for me has been this battle of getting back into alignment. How has that been going for you? Because I know we were kind of resonating off each other there.
Well, we were doing that, the Academy project for about 3 years. And then I discussed with my partners, it's probably time for me to exit, as I felt I wasn't able to be the artist and do my screen printing and things and the music like I wanted to, because the project became so big and the mm-hmm. space was so big. So in doing that and leaving, that was a really tough decision, but also at the end of the day, it felt really good in my chest. Mm-hmm. And since then I've been painting and printing and doing that. So that's been nice, but that was really hard to do. And then we've had some family health and stuff go through this year. And so that's been really tough. And again, I just feel fortunate I have so many creative outlets and that I live in this place of awesomeness. Mm-hmm. And I am fortunate enough to travel a bit and go see some neat places. And we recently went to Guatemala and went with my good friend Monty, and we ran a trip, Travel with Purpose, took a group of Doctors Without Borders, a group named Hero, and we went to remote locations and set up women and children's health clinics and helped build a house and do stuff. I met another guy named Lucas. He was an artist and also a DJ, and so that was a lot of fun. So we connected on
hold up.
Major levels.
You just added this as like a sidebar. Oh yeah, like went down to Guatemala, brought a bunch of doctors. You gotta tell us about this. Like this is amazing.
For sure. And this is, I think, like travel is a huge part of my life. Like because we always come home with fresh eyes. But to be able to go and do a trip like that and then come back here, we have no right to complain. Everybody out there is making, not everybody, but a big chunk of the population is living off of less than $1 US a day. 1 in 10 families have a fridge, and there's really no cars where we were. You'd be lucky if the family had a motorbike or something, and they'd stick all of them on the motorbike. Like, you feel like you're in a National Geographic expedition. And I'm very fortunate to do these kind of trips and go these places and see that and come home with that perspective. Like, the island is a beautiful place to come home to. My mm-hmm. goodness, no matter where we go in the world, I love coming back here. It's one of the only places on Earth, I think, with 4 real seasons. And you can go down to the beach, you know, we can mm-hmm. ride our bikes. And I really love riding bikes. That's what we do. We have lots of bikes. And so that's one of our other favorite things. But yeah, the Guatemala thing, that's just amazing. My good buddy Monty, he runs a surf camp in Nicaragua, and he's made a lot of change there in the last 15 years, a little town called Hicaleo. And so when you stay at a surf camp, you go and help the little community. And Monty's helped communities throughout Central America, and I've been fortunate enough to work with him and travel with him and print a lot of shirts for him. We even set up a screen printing shop in Nicaragua so that the women could screen print bags and shirts and sell those to the tourists.
That's amazing. Yeah. And where would they get the materials for this?
They go get the shirts down in like one of the big cities right there. They'll get the blank shirts, and then we just use water-based inks.
That's amazing.
They can get that stuff. We set them up with the press and a few things, but screen printing is really neat. It hasn't really changed much since the 50s or 60s. We just have a digital aspect now we can use with our computers or you could just draw it out by hand as well if you wish. So.
And explain what this actually does for the community when you set something up like this. Because it's not like you're not going in and building houses, or you're not going in and doing that.
Well, we teach them entrepreneurship, and they get into it, and then they, you know, it's performance driven, and they see like they could start printing shirts so quickly, and then you start selling. It's a fast process. And it's fun for them, and it's a great way for them to share their culture of art and put it on art. That's why it got me into doing t-shirts originally, was that how could I get my art to the masses? Because not everybody wants to buy a canvas, but everybody wears a t-shirt.
Totally.
So let's put them on t-shirts. And so now they can put their graphics on t-shirts and sell them to people.
That's awesome. So you taught them how to like put their pieces of art into the screen print. I don't know how that process works.
Totally. We worked with like 6 people, and they got it going, and I'm sure they taught the rest. And I've heard that it has been up and running in the past years. So that was about 7 years ago. We went and did that. Awesome. 6-7 years ago. But It's really cool, and had other opportunities to travel and perform and do music in other places. So it's been a lot of fun. And so in doing that, I kind of have like no fear in that sense. I really don't care what anybody thinks about what I create or do.
Mm.
I don't know. That's hasn't stopped me. Like right. you should paint that yellow, or I don't like this lyric. You should change that lyric. Or
do you get that a lot?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. I just say, well, you should paint a painting, or you should write a song.
Right.
Right. Or, you know, it's I like to create curiosity amongst people.
I love that. Yeah. That's like one of the biggest things for me in this past year in like dealing with myself and like unblocking those creative blocks has been like, not just curiosity with other people, but like curiosity on why is that there? It's curiosity has no judgment.
No.
It's just curious. You want to know, you want to explore.
I'm so curious. I still like, I want to be traveling all the time. You know, I do like to take about, lately we've been pretty fortunate. It's been about a week out of every month we've been able to go and do something cool and go somewhere and, you know, do those types of things. So I like to really work hard and schedule it. And I find the more I go away and the more fun I have, the more work I get, and good work too, from good people that want your work,
mm-hmm.
want your energy, want you around. So that's pretty neat.
And that's just living how you want to live and bringing your best self forward.
100%. I think like we have lots of various goals. And I think we're on the right track to get to where we need to go.
Cool. I want to highlight something because you've said this word a few times already, and this is the we word.
We.
Lucas, who is we?
Me, myself, and I.
Okay.
I guess I've always just kind of done that. I've always believed in we. A lot of people say you should take more self-credit and be more about that. But it's amazing. It's amazing the credit you can receive, or amazing the success you can receive when you don't care who gets the credit. Mm. And, you know, when you start working on big projects with a lot of people and you might have done something, but someone kind of gets the big credit for it or whatever. It's just, don't worry about that. Just keep moving forward and keep working with others and keep working with yourself. And I've always said we. Usually it's Freddie and I, my dog and I, me and my friends, me and the creative people. I've various circle groups of really cool friends. I strongly believe in surrounding yourself in what we like to call beauties. You got to surround yourself in some beauties and people that are also stretching for their greatest self. And so in return, you just rub it off, you know?
Yeah.
You hang with the thieves, you're a thief. Kind of old saying, right? But you fly with the birds and maybe you'll be flying with the birds too. And it's just, I like the energy. It's cool to surround yourself with people that give a shit about what you're doing. They like what you're doing. They're like, call you up. Like I'll put a picture up on Instagram or something and they'll call me up going, that painting's sick, man, and blah, blah, blah.
Cool. Not just like another like. They'll actually make a connection.
Oh no, the group, like the core crew that like we're gonna go down and see in Encinitas, and we have some of them here on the island and some are out east. And they're all across Canada, but they're all doing amazing things and they will pick up the phone and give you a call, and that's what it's about. Like
you've had this core group since high school, is that right?
Just after high school. I got a core group from high school. Those guys are a bunch of beauties too. Grew up with them. They've been awesome. And I feel fortunate to grow up with them. I always look to all their parents as mentors and stuff too. We had it takes a village to raise a child. And so it's so true with myself. It took Sydney to raise me. It took everybody out here to contribute towards where I am today. For sure. And then I've got my other group that I met afterwards, kind of in post-secondary and also doing some entrepreneurial projects, met a group of other entrepreneurs, want to strive and do things. And some of them have taken some companies to some amazing places. And it's been neat to watch their journey and then have them also include me on their success and their fun.
The we.
And I guess that's where it all comes back around to we. And our group's been fortunate enough to go to We Day 3 times. You guys heard of We Day?
No, I haven't.
So We Day is an amazing event. It's held around the world. It's run by these two brothers that do the Free the Children the Free the Children Foundation.
Okay.
And so they will pack Rogers Arena with like top stars. They'll do a concert. They do motivational speaking. They teach children self-love. And all these people, you can't buy a ticket to this place. Your school or your class or something has to be invited because you've done some good in a community. Mm. You've done a travel with purpose trip and built a house. So we had really neat opportunities to like high five and sit with Desmond Tutu and like Holly Branson. And then I did a rap backstage at Rogers Arena to Magic Johnson.
No way.
My friends stopped and they're like, you know, Matt, they're like, all right, we got to go. Magic Johnson's here. And my buddy's like, no, Lucas is going to, he's got a track for you. And I'll never forget. He said, that's pretty good for a little white guy, you know, and he's pretty tall. He's a pretty big guy. So that was, but having those experiences, and we did lunch with like Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and,
right,
you know, Chuck Clare and all these people. And so you get these connections and then you realize that they're just people.
Yeah.
They're just people that never gave up on their creativeness, whether it was a sport or music or any of these things. And so We Day's been huge. We've done three of those now, and they're awesome. And they're big charitable foundations. So a lot of good comes from it. It's amazing, I think, the good you receive when you we assist others or believe and help others, mm-hmm. I guess.
That yeah. Makes,
yeah.
I told it. Yeah, absolutely.
I just go off. So.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. What would you say, Lucas, to a young high school man who, you know, he's figuring out his group, his self? What would you say about creativity to the guys growing up in the school systems right now?
I think now is tougher than ever in the school system. The amount that we're submerged in social media and these types of things, it's kind of, I'm really glad I graduated just a few years before all that hit, all the big social media and stuff hit. And I think number one for anyone, in my personal opinion, is find really good, awesome mentors you want to work with. It's all about being with an amazing, find someone that's doing what you want to do and go sweep their floor. It starts the old school stuff. I was 15 and I started flying. My parents put me in flight school. My dad had a career with Boeing in the aerospace industry. And so I started flying at the age of 15. And I had so many mentors. And again, my buddy Cliff, you know, his brother Howie. And Howie's an amazing pilot too, right?
Yes, I do.
So his dad was an amazing mentor to me as well. And then introduced me to all his flying buddies. And then got me a job at Victoria Air Maintenance. And so you start sweeping the floor. And you start cleaning things, and you know, you get sworn at a lot and stuff like this. It's part of working with the boys, I guess, at the hangar. And mentors. I think now they want it. Everybody wants stuff quick. We want stuff immediately. Yeah. We can order things on Amazon. They're at our door the next day.
Yeah.
We have this urge for it all right now. Nobody wants to put in the work.
I
just feel like this year it's becoming awesome, and we're consistent with work and revenues and things like that. And so it's taken 10 years just to get here. And I get it now when I hear, I love it when you run into like a 22-year-old life coach.
You know,
I'd rather go up to the rec center and sit in the hot tub with the old boys that are having knee surgeries that are like 82 and talking to them about life.
You know, it's so funny because I just got this lesson. Like, this hit me so hard 2 weekends ago of like, I'm trying to be somebody and I haven't put in the work. I'm trying to like be some kind of person for other people. I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to do the stuff that I haven't yet fully experienced. I haven't been a disciple yet. And I got that lesson. Lucas, I have never been so humbled in my entire life. Like it is currently crazy. Like I'm just like, I know fucking nothing.
Yeah. Three most dangerous words on earth I heard were, I know that.
Mm.
You know, or know enough to know that I don't know much.
Yeah.
And it's so true. The more you travel, the more you realize that.
Yeah.
We're not stuck in our little bubble here anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not scared, we're not growing. All those cliche quotes, I just live by them kind of daily in a strange little way. As you can see, there's quotes written on my floor.
Yeah, I love it.
So
it's great. You like walk in here to this, like you walk across a floor of inspiration.
Well, this is what my buddy said too. He's like, LJ, you've been walking across your quotes for like 10 years. He's like, of course they've absorbed into you. And I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, right on. You know, you're picking it up with your peripherals, but you don't really realize it, but you remember them.
Yeah.
If anyone asks you, you know.
Totally. And it's like, it's coming through everything you do. You're like this walking manifestation of what you have surrounded yourself with.
100%. And it's like that. I feel so for the youth right now. Because I do know a lot of people that have degrees that have then, you know, it's important. It teaches you organization. It teaches you how to, you know, get things going for the day. But you probably won't use it for what you thought you might use it for. Everyone I've kind of witnessed and seen, a very small percentage have continued on with their post-secondary education and gone into that actual career.
Mm-hmm.
But they've used that skill set to then go off and do something else.
Yeah.
And so for myself, I use everything like flying. It's a flight plan. How do I do the day? You know, the first hour of our day sets up our day and those types of things. So I kind of treat everything like it's a flight plan.
Yeah.
And if you have a diversion, where are we going to go land? And so if shirts don't come in on time or some image didn't come for us to paint or create or do that, there's always another project to work on.
Well, it gives you incredible discipline too. I mean, I don't know much about flying, but I do know enough that like you're in a metal box in the sky. You better have your shit together. You better be organized. So if you run everything in that same way, there's a level of discipline that carries through your life.
Yeah. What do they say? It's like that whole 90% how we... 10% what happens to us, 90% how we react.
Oh, I'm going to trust you on that. Like,
I think
can't
that's what it is.
That.
I think that's what it is. It is. It's how we, what's our reaction? You know, you got an engine fire. What are you going to do? Freak out and call somebody?
Throw a
picture on Facebook. Oh, I got an engine fire. I'm going down. No. It's about being cool, calm, and collective as best you can and treating the situations like so. The universe is the universe. The earth is the earth. Things don't always come on time. We all want them on time today, but we don't.
Yeah. That's, man. That's like, I'm just learning it. Like I'm such a new student in this world.
We are.
And that's what I kind of live by and realizing the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know, you know, I barely know what's inside of me, like the underlying
we're not
emotion,
even touching
the
our potential
intentions of what's there.
Yes.
Right?
It's like we stop being geniuses at the age of five, right? Because up to five, we're always stretching to learn and create. And it shows how our genius level comes down as we grow older. So five and then 10 and then 15, you know, we're still acting pretty good on a genius level. Hit your mid 20s though, the genius level goes down to like 50% or something.
Because you think you know.
Or you just get comfortable. Mm. We just get comfortable. Mm. We get complacent. We get comfortable. We think this is the way life's supposed to be.
How do you feel about comfort?
I like it when I'm in my space by the fire in my big chair hanging out with my dog. That's pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
But I don't, I think you definitely need to scare yourself daily or take on a project. I often take on paintings that I don't think I'm going to be able to complete or do. And
that scares you.
Yeah. And then we do them. I take it on a gig when we do events and stuff. Those always scare me every time because sometimes it's just overthinking a bit, but
yeah.
If I'm not scared going into a project, then it's just mundane. It's because I should almost be worried.
Yeah. These podcasts scare me.
Yeah. As they should.
Yeah.
It's kind of scared me today, but it's, it's a nice refresher to go over things again right now. Like I was discussing with you earlier, it's really nice to talk about where we've come from because, you know, it's so important to where we feel we should be going. But also to be, I seriously believe in being super present every day. Set future goals, but make sure that you're there today. Like, am I enjoying today? I'm just here sightseeing. Like, I'm here on a human experience, sightseeing. I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here and plan for certain logistics in the future, but not worry too much about it.
How do you practice presence in your life? What does that mean?
Living in this place, living here on the peninsula is a pretty awesome place to be present. I believe being connected to the Salish Sea and our Coast Salish people. Yeah. That's my mom's side of the family is from the Gulf Islands and my dad's from London, UK. So I've had the best of both worlds in that sense. But I believe where we live is very powerful. And I love the ocean. I think the ocean's the most powerful thing in the world. And being a good ambassador for the ocean. That's where I find presence, is on the beach and walking my dog and just being in the mm-hmm. trees. Welcome time and patience. Welcome the company of trees. Mm. I love that saying, because like they've been so patient for so long and they've grown so straight and so strong, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty cool. So that's kind of how I practice patience or presence, and also really good food and mindful food preparation. My good friend Andrew, he's a farmer, so we get nice local greens, and we believe on going for a drive once a week to all the local food stands, getting good food, awesome. Connecting with the farmers, the people growing it, and then coming home and preparing that, and us preparing it being present on purpose mm-hmm. and enjoying this food with music and stuff. Like that's what culture is all about, really, is music, food, and art, right?
Totally.
It's not about granite countertops and big trucks.
Fuck that.
I think this is where we lose connection. Everybody's wondering why we're depressed. It's, well, we're living in a thing that's not built for humans.
Yeah.
It's not built to nest us.
Right.
That's my thought. And I've heard that. I've heard like Jim Carrey say that, and a few other really people find them quirky and artists, but I think artists feel harder. I remember people talking to me about like Robin Williams or these musicians that kind of off themselves mm. and depression and things like this. But I think artists, like, why would you do that if you're, you know, you got 50 million in the bank and it's not what it's about.
No, not at all.
And artists feel harder, I think, than most, because they've already overcome the boundary of that fear of the right of being wrong, right? So they have no fear about being on stage or what people think of their art or their music or their song. They've already overcome
that. Or if they have that fear, they're willing to step into it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And then they feel so hard for other things that are going on, how this is, they can see how the system's not built mm-hmm. to nurture us is a thought that I've
How do you
come
deal
across.
With that?
How do I deal with that?
Yeah, how do you deal with that sensitivity? And,
I don't buy into the system in the state, just like going right. to go get your groceries from the farm stand. Mm-hmm. It's way cooler, too, and I like car rides. I'm fortunate enough to work at home, and I do travel a bit with some of my work, but I don't need to commute every day, so going on a car ride is a really fun thing, and Freddie loves them, too, so that we do that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, being present, I think, in everything we do, like... how we do anything is how we do everything.
Right.
That kind of.
So like doing the dishes.
Totally. That's another thing that's really hit me lately too, is like, I get to do the dishes, especially coming back from Guatemala. You know, I get to walk my dog.
I get to open my fridge.
That's right. I'm like, we're just doing a little reno on the bathroom, and we were, you know, bitching a little bit at each other, Andrew and I. I'm like, well, at least we have a bathroom that we get to renovate.
Yeah.
You know, at least we have a car that we get to
and
drive.
And that gratitude's a big thing.
Gratitude's massive. I'm learning that. So I knew that before, but I'm really tuning into it now.
Yeah, me too. And like, I'm going through this process of, you know, I've always known about it. I've had a gratitude practice for years, and it's so funny, like, now versus, you know, 4 years ago where, you know, I was massively depressed and struggling, and that gratitude practice of like really trying to force it and really not actually feeling gratitude, but being like, you know, writing in my journal, I am grateful for,
yeah,
you know, but not being connected with it, not being like really in touch for what I have and who I am and what inspires me, you know, that's one of the biggest things that came up in this whole humbling incident mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, is like, be grateful for your teachers. The lessons I get to learn.
100%. And like this last 3 weeks, my dad's been in the hospital, and we didn't know if he was coming home or what was going on. And things have stabilized right now, but going into the hospital for 3 weeks and looking around and seeing that it's all men that had kind of, if you will, shitty life choices, in the sense of probably diet, smoking, drinking.
Taking care of themselves.
Not even, yeah, just stretching. Just like, take care of your body. Yeah. Take care of, you know. And they're old school, which is, you know, the first generation kind of after the war. So like, it's what they were taught. Mm-hmm. They didn't know any different.
Work hard.
Work really hard, and, you know, hurt your back and like these types of things. So we're very fortunate to learn those lessons from them, which I think I'm grateful for. And so seeing all that coming back home and doing stuff, it is. It's like I get to make my bed. Mm-hmm. I don't have rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, and those thoughts are with me all the time. Like when I'm in bed and I'm like, oh, you know, let's get up, let's go take Freddie for a walk, you know, go to the rec center, get the day started right, get the blood flowing, and then you can almost dive into any project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel very, very grateful to do what I do, live where I live, and have what I have.
How does that feel on, like, you know, a 30-something male looking at all these old guys in the hospital? How does that feel?
I would love to put more nutrition into the hospital.
Yeah.
I've been taking my dad juices and smoothies, and the nurses are like, wow, I wish everybody got that.
Right.
Because it really helps them. It's easy for them to digest, for one. It's already halfway there. And I'd love to create a juice van one day, or a juice bus, or a truck that went to the hospitals and just gave the patients juices and smoothies. And, you know, I don't think it's too far-fetched, but I think that's one thing that has triggered a lot with me. Yeah. I kind of go places and go, well, what aren't they doing? How could we improve mm-hmm. this in a way?
Yeah, I think that, like, this is one of the things that I'm so inspired by, the way that you inquire into the world and you see a need and you fill the need, or like assess when you can fill the need. Like, this is one of the biggest things. Like, I've known you for the past decade, and it's like I said at the beginning, I've seen you take on so many projects, and it's in this way, like, you see a need for something, you know, for more creativity in the populace, for more health in the populace, the Get Fresh Guide, the school, the art. Like, I'm getting emotional here because I'm so inspired by the way you fill these things.
No, thank you. And it's really neat because the hallways of the hospital too, with the academy, we worked with our foundation, and it created spots for the hospital foundation, Sandwich Peninsula Hospital Foundation, to come and do art at the school. And now they do so much art there that the hallways are lined with art, and all that art is up for sale, and proceeds of that art go towards the Sandwich Peninsula Hospital Foundation, which has now built them beautiful gardens and given them a lot of things mm-hmm. that they've needed, which was kind of ironic going in there and seeing my dad, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is all the art that we've done with the academy, ironically enough. And so,
full circle.
And you know, we come into this world scribbling, and chances are we go out of the world scribbling. You know, we come in eating smoothies, we go out eating smoothies, and it's the cycle of life. It's my good friend Lindy. She's a death doula, and I've been chatting a lot with her about life and things, and it's very interesting. It's just as natural as going to the bathroom or raining. You know, it's just the cycle, and it's something that we don't talk about. It's supernatural. And I think if we talked about it more, it wouldn't be so devastating on everybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's nothing wrong with getting emotional, but you don't want to live there.
Yeah. You know, there's two women on the peninsula who I had on the podcast months ago now. It was earlier last year, Linda Hunter and Shannon Jance.
Linda Hunter is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. Those two women, and like the Deathly Matters conference, and bringing this awareness around death and destigmatizing it and talking about it like it's normal. You know, Linda was on the podcast. It's a great episode. You know, she was talking about how it's important to sit down with your family and plan your death.
Yo, 100%.
Yeah.
I get the paperwork. Everybody, get your paperwork in order. It's like that's the only thing, you know, I try to screw the system as much as you can in a way, like with that kind of mindset as being an artist, but you can't do that with the paperwork and the book. It doesn't work.
Right.
Get it all done. Get it out of the way. There's no hidden skeletons in anyone's closets. Mm-hmm. It's all very open and transparent. And now everyone can focus on being creative and eating mm-hmm. well and enjoying outside and go check out the birds. And
yeah.
Those are the important things, I believe.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's been quite a journey.
So you're heading out next week. You're heading down to California just to change the mood. And
yep. Yeah. Go from death to Cali.
Death to Cali.
California sun.
Yeah.
No, Encinitas, California. Beautiful. 20, 25 minutes north of San Diego. If nobody's been there, I suggest you go there. Super cool little surf town. No buildings are above 40 feet.
Love that.
They love their little strip. they got like this cool surfer strip with restaurants on it, and most things are organic and just mindful. And it's actually the home of Yogananda, and Yogananda's who brought yoga and the mindfulness of yoga.
Self-realization fellowship. And so, you've been down there, you've been into that fellowship a few times now, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. My good friends got married down there, and they got married at the fellowship. They're part of the fellowship, and they've taken me with them to temple, and what an experience. And it's talk about mindfulness and flow state and being aware of flow state. Well, like catch it when it's with you. And so Encinitas is a spiritual place in that sense, and I love it. And everyone loves the ocean. I'll get up and I'll walk down to the ocean, and you see a couple that's in their 60s and they're coming back from surfing. And the health down there is awesome because people are active. They're riding bikes. They're in the ocean. They're surfing. People are beautiful. They are. The sun, maybe it's vitamin D, but it definitely helps. But beautiful in all ways, right? Beautiful in the sense that they're creating and, you know, they're enjoying their time here, being a happy human.
I love those places on this earth that like people congregate to who are all just like very similar. And I actually think Vancouver Island is one of those places.
100%. No, we definitely are as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's big comparisons, but yeah, Encinitas is a wonderful space for me to create. I'm going to go down there with Music House. We're going to do some more recording. I'd like to have an EP out in the new year, an extended play, probably three or four tracks.
Awesome.
And then we'll move into a full album called Creative Expression. And the album is kind of filled with quotes and the way I like to live life and my thoughts and theories. Some get a little political, some get... Yeah, it's a nice place to let it all out. You know, what you can't say, you can sing, or you can put into a poem, or you know, you have a thought, but you want to share it with people, but you don't know how. So just share it to the universe. Go out and yell it, right?
I love that.
Yeah.
And now, how can people follow you, check out your art? How can they connect with you and the lyrics that you put out, anything like that?
The lyric stuff's all going to be happening soon. We're going to have that on SoundCloud, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I'm going to do iTunes and all that stuff, but we'll do SoundCloud, and I might do some CDs out of the trunk of my car just for old school sake.
Love that.
Kind of fun.
I got to get a CD player, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Maybe I'll do some cassette tapes too.
Oh, perfect.
And then the art and everything, we're revamping the website right now, which I'm excited about, and revamping the print house, which is, so we've got essentially, we've got LJC art, and that's me as an artist, and we'll have ljcart.com and all that will be coming up, and that's all my paintings and those types of things and creative consulting on bigger creative kind of painting projects. And then Print House is the print shop, and Print House can be found as well on Instagram and Facebook. And then I have Cycle Sydney, which is our bike rental company. And Cycle Sydney, really, we just did it this year, but it really picked up. It was super cool. And we have some awesome beach cruisers, and people come and rent bikes off us. And then the Get Fresh Guide can be found on Get Fresh Instagram and Facebook as well. And I think that's it right now.
God, we didn't even touch on the bicycle stuff. Like, you've got so much going on. It's crazy.
It is. And it's people are like, how do you focus on it all? And it's they're all running now. They're running themselves. I focus on LJC art. I focus on the music, and I focus on the print shop.
Cool.
And the rest just kind of happens. And I like having, you know, I couldn't print all day for 12 hours. So we print for, you know, 4 to 6, and then we'll go paint for a couple hours, and then we'll go for a bike ride.
You yourself and...
Me, myself, and I. Young Cancer, born the month of July.
Love that. That's so awesome. Lucas, thank you so much. Is there anything that you want to share that's on your heart right now?
I guess just the end, creative expression is a spoken word that I have that I could share with everybody if you'd like. And that's kind of the anthem of myself and what we do.
Yeah, so be amazing.
Okay. Let me see if I can remember it here, sitting here at the table. This is my confession of my creative expression. It's hard work, determination, not a blessing. Constantly testing. And how we deal with this is a constant question. Not reinventing the wheel, we're just making something refreshing. There's no time to schedule inspiration, for when it hits you, you must deal with it face to face then. Uninfluenced by the latest trend, and conscious of a message we send, and know it's if not you, who, and if not now, when. For power comes in numbers, and it comes in friends. It comes as a means to an end. Time to separate the boys from the men, the talkers from the doers. And we just do because there's less competition. We're catching, they're fishing. We're dreaming, they're bitching. But when you talk, we listen. The earth has music for those that choose to listen. So I do this to motivate myself and those on a similar mission. We must get up and stand up. There's no time for sitting. Let's face it. Take it back to the basics. The paper, pencils, and erasers. MacBooks and suitcases allow us to travel this world and work in various places. I met a lot of jokers, and now I roll with a crew of aces. For those that mind, don't matter. And those that matter, don't mind. They allow me to be me creatively, Mr. LJC, and I can walk and talk and speak freely and understand that everything is not what it seems, as I stand here as a temporary being. I'm on this earth just doing some sightseeing. The paintings and the songs are the things that I'm leaving. One day when I fall asleep and I'm dreaming, believing, working the hardest. There's no time for a starving artist. We're breaking a sweat. Some feel the rain and others just get wet. It's FTJ, baby, gotta fuel the jet. The sky's not the limit, you know it's our playground. No fear like Chuck Yeager, let's reach the speed of sound and face the music and we can dance together. Only such thing as inappropriate clothing and not bad weather. For rain or shine, I shall never surrender. We turn the funk into function, we improve odds and improve odds for everyone. A creative uprising has begun. It's time to become conscious of how unconscious we are, for you must have chaos within you to give birth to a dancing star.
Unreal, man. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I'm surprised I got that in the first go.
That's awesome. So I appreciate it. Lucas, I just wish you like all the best on everything you do. I'm got goosebumps. Like,
thanks for coming by and let me share, because it got me all excited again too. And it's nice to share. Go and share with people that care, because it amps you up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so thanks for having me, and whoever's listening, thanks for listening to us.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. All right, everybody, there you have it. Thank you so much, Lucas. This was a treat to chat with you, a treat to share the amazing things that you're doing. If you guys want to check out Lucas, I really encourage it. He's up to so much in this world and it's hard to keep track of him. He's like traveling around working on so many different projects and bringing so much art to life, even in the way that he lives art as life. So head to LJC Art on Instagram. You can check out his print house at printhouse.ca or at printhouseca on Instagram. And be sure to connect with him. Let him know what you thought of the podcast. Let him know that you heard him and that you're stoked about what he's doing. And of course, leave a review on the podcast on iTunes. That would be awesome. It would help us get seen, help us get heard, and it would help build to what we are going towards. I see I've already adopted this we that Lucas has. He's just got this amazing way of speaking, and I love the me, myself, and I, but we, because it's not about I. Ah, so good. I'm so inspired and just excited for what's coming. So again, if you guys are feeling so inclined to donate to the cause, head to my website, mollyjwilder.com, and hit the Island Vortex link at the top. It's on the menu right at the very top of the website. And you can read a little bit more about the project that I'm doing and what's coming in this podcast. And of course, you can hit the donate button. You can make a single donation, you can make a recurring donation, you can pick a number, you can choose a number that's already up there, whatever feels really great to you. Thank you so much for lending us your ears, for being present with us, and for celebrating all that this beautiful island has to offer. Have a wonderful Sunday.